Let's pray. Dearly beloved, Heavenly Father, we come now to this part of our worship in reading thy word, preaching thy word to our people. In your presence, will you please bless thy word, Lord. Incline our hearts to thee. May thy word be a rich blessings to all of us. Accomplish it, Lord, thy great purposes in saving soul and in drawing us more closer to thee and delighting in thee, especially in thy glory, in thy glorious presence, because there's no other place like this in which we are in the presence of our holy God who is speaking to us now for our spiritual benefits and for our delight in our spiritual walk with him and with thee, O Lord. So undertake, Lord, to meet all our spiritual needs, especially those who need salvation at this hour. Forgive us and cleanse us of our many sins to thy precious blood, Lord Jesus, and hide me behind thy cross, that our Lord Jesus will be the one who will be seen and speaking to every soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, reading again from Jeremiah chapter 9 that was read by our brother from verse 23 to 24 in different version. It says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in this I delight, says the Lord. What a wonderful promise, isn't it? That in that promise, for in this I delight, says the Lord. Oh, what indeed a foretaste of what God is about to say to us this evening, expecting the rich blessing of what he is about to tell us in delighting in God's mighty word and the lessons that we'll learn. That God delights in those who understands and know him. We live in a world full of people who glory in big strings of degrees after their names. And that is very evident, especially in the Western world, in our present day as well, that big degrees associated with their name is such a paramount source of glory to many people. They want people to be impressed by their achievements, insights, and wisdom. They want people to be impressed by their achievements. While some people glory in their physical strength, others glory in the business they have built. We meet a lot of people who glory in their riches as well. Glory means to boast. They proclaim it in the clothes. They show it in the clothes they love to wear, the cars that they drive, and the homes that they purchase and own. That's just the human, fallen, simple creatures really are. But the Lord God says, if you are going to boast, boast in this, that you know and understand me. Which is wonderful news, isn't it? It's a word of encouragement at this part of our meditation of God's word. I know the God of the universe. You know the God of the universe who reveals himself in the Lord Jesus Christ, his beloved son. Why should I glory? Why you should glory in human wisdom and might and riches? When you and I know the God of the universe who came down on earth in the face of our Lord Jesus Christ, the beloved Son of God. And even more wonderfully, he says he knows us individually by name. So the word boast or glory in this verse that we have just read is the Hebrew word halal, which we get our word hallelujah from it. It means to praise, to glory, to boast in something. Like people do their favorite sports team and admire the team that they support. And of course, the sport that many people worship today as well is football. What you praise or glory in says a lot about what is really important in your life. And God has a word for us here in these verses about what should and should not boast or glory in. Let us divide this message tonight in categorizing inadequate glories and the true glory that we should know and should not know. First, the inadequate glories, which is number one, your own wisdom. Our verse says, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom. Now, someone might say at this moment, wouldn't wisdom be good? But notice, even in that answer you may have, but notice, God says, let not a wise man boast in his wisdom. All of these things, he will mention here, that he will mention in these verses that we have read are the same way. His wisdom, his strength, his riches. There is a wisdom and riches and strength which comes from God. But that's not what he's talking about here. He's saying, do not glory or boast in your own wisdom. One of the things God has shown us as we have been reading through Isaiah and Jeremiah, is that human wisdom without God is unreliable. God has said in Isaiah 55, verses 6 to 9, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked man forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Then God has said in verse 12 of this chapter 9, we have read a while ago, of Jeremiah, he said earlier, who is the wise man who understands this? Human beings don't have the wisdom and the insight and perspective that God possesses. And we are foolish if we proudly rely on our own wisdom. Mankind has made some great invention, and improvements in all aspects of life that make life enjoyable. God granted us scientists, business experts, economic experts, and all various sciences that God has provided us through the contribution of men, wise men. But their own wisdom is not satisfactory. It's not always last long. It will always and eventually fall short. That reality tested the faith of a certain faithful minister in America who got sick back in 2012. And none of the doctors in his area had any answers for what was going wrong with him. Everyone kept telling him, go to this place in Houston, Texas. You see, in downtown Houston, Texas, they have a series of hospitals and diagnostic medical centers, which are some of the best in the world. Go to Houston. They will have answer for you. They will know what to do and advise you. This pastor was quite skeptical for a while, but at one point, his doctor did end up sending him to Houston to confirm his diagnosis. When he got there, they said, yes, your doctor is right, but that you indeed do not have adrenal gland problem. You do indeed have POTS, POTS, capital POTS, which means an acronym for postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. He asked them what they could do for it then, and what kind of shock the answer really struck him. This is what they said. We really can't do anything for that here. We don't know much about it. So much for man's wisdom. It is very limited, as you all have observed from various angles of our daily experience in life. It can always be relied upon. No matter how good some gurus are or counselors are, they are not always satisfying and satisfies the longing of one's needs and desire. No matter how much mankind learns, our wisdom will always be limited. No matter how smart you are as an individual, you are going to run up against something that just stumps you entirely. There are things you cannot know. There are problems you cannot solve. There are mysteries you will never understand. We must be very humble and open to what God has to say to us. God says, don't glory in your own wisdom. The second inadequate glory is your own strength. What God says, let not the mighty man boast of his might. The Hebrew word for might here in this verse is often used for a warrior's strength. So it's talking about physical strength or ability. So many people in our world today glory in their physical strength or appearance, especially in that part of the Western world, this is the United States. Let me say and be honest upfront before you. Exercise, whatever form of exercise you do, and taking care of your body in a regular basis is a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. And it is a good stewardship of the vessel God has given you to serve him with. As long as your physical body and your outward appearance do not become your glory, what you live for or what makes you happy, because your physical body will eventually disappoint you. Perhaps you have known some individual guys sports heroes, we may call them, who have built their whole life around sports. And in the end, one knee injury it stops everything. It ends it all up when you have that knee injury. Did you see how many National Football League players in the United States went down with injury just a couple of years ago? And for many of them, their career is over. If your glory is in your sports, then your glory hangs by a thread. One knee injury, one defeat, that 1 year older, when your body can't do what it used to do, and that happens to every single person without exception. And your glory is gone. If your glory is in your physical body, then you have built your life on a foundation of sand. And then, if your foundation is in the sand, then what are you going to do? You will see that that foundation will sink before your eyes. That's why God is always right in saying, do not boast in your own strength. And lastly, the other inadequate, the third inadequate glory is your own riches. God says, don't glory in your money or material possessions. They won't satisfy you. They won't last. And they are of no value to you in the most important part of your life. Let not the rich man, God says, let not the rich man boast in his riches. Now, all these three things taken together cover many of the things that people are tempted to put their hope in: their wisdom or mental ability, their physical beauty or strength, and their money and possessions. These are the things that a lot of people glory in. Or what really comforts them or makes them happy when they plan and focus their long-term plan in their life. These are the things that matters to them. Back in 1950, you'll probably know the popular man Ernest Hemingway, and I'll quote him tonight, was the American man's man. He is the man of that hour in popularity. He had rough it all as a reporter in wars overseas. He hunted and fished and drank and caroused and wrote about that robust lifestyle in his book entitled like The Old Man and the Sea, and For Who the Bell Tolls, Those are the books that are popular about him. But as a result of a plane crash and then illnesses, he couldn't do all the things he used to do. He retreated, he drank, and finally, at age 62, which is quite still a younger year, he took a shotgun and ended his own life at his home in Idaho. Hemingway had gloried in his own robust physical strength, but when that was gone, he had nothing else to live for. Well, that's why God says in the scripture that we have just read a while ago, let not the mighty man boast in his strength. Don't live for your sports or your beauty or your physical ability. One day you will lose it. And if that's all you live for, and that's what you have gloried in and built your life around them, then you will have lost everything. And then what will you do on that day? A good question to ask ourselves tonight is this. What is it that comforts you when you think about your life? When you plan a long range of planning that will establish your life on a stable basis. Well, whatever that plan may be, that sets your glory before God. Where do you get your comfort, your good feelings about your life? Unfortunately, most people are glorying the wrong things. God says, don't glory in your wisdom, don't glory in your riches. All of them are inadequate to be your glory. Coming to the second part of this meditation is from inadequate glory to the second one, which is the one true glory, which is knowing God. In verse 24 of chapter 9 of Jeremiah, but God says, but let him who boast on this, that he understands and know me, that I am Yahweh, who exercise loving kindness, justice, righteousness, and righteousness on earth. For I delight in these things, declares Yahweh, which is translated in the English word Lord, all capital letters. What should we boast in or glory in? What should comfort us and make us happy in life? God says that you understand and know me. Now, let's be honest. When he says understand here, the word understand here, that doesn't mean that you understand everything about God. We will never understand everything about him. He's beyond our comprehension, as you know that. Someone as well said that if you could wrap up your mind around God, he wouldn't be God, because our mind cannot cover everything about God. We are only given adequate faith in the Word of God, and that should be enough for us to know him. But the word understand means to have insight into. That is what the word means. To have insight into. And the word of God has given us enough insight into who is God for us and his omniscience, about his knowledge of everything and his power and his ever presence with us. If we have some insight into God and know him, that is what you should be thankful. That's what we should be thankful for and glory in and find comfort for in your life, in our lives. And notice that he adds that I am the Lord. That I am the Lord. You see, the word Lord is in all capital letters, which means that in Hebrew, this is his name, Yahweh. And the people of Israel does not feel worthy to mention that name. That's why they use the word Adonai, capital L-O-R-D. Because they feel unworthy, because God is too holy. God's name is too holy to be mentioned in a sinner's mouth. That's why they feel inadequate. They feel unworthy, which we should, because us being honest, that our own wisdom and our own strength and our own riches should actually humble us before him, because this wisdom and strength and riches are not enough to make us understand about God. Only through the constant reading and meditating upon his word, that is how we will come to know him. That is the personal God, personal name of God, Yahweh. Not just any God or a generic God that everyone believes in, but Yahweh, the God of the Bible, the God of the whole universe, who revealed himself in the person of his beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, understanding and knowing him, the one true God, is what we should glory in. That is what we were created or made for. We were created to know God. That is our purpose for existence. Now, if that doesn't sound good to you, or doesn't make sense to you, it is because your ability to know God is impaired by your love of sin and our love for sin. Because we sin against him, the one who was supposed to be our comfort and glory became a stranger to us and even our enemy. But according to Romans chapter 5, but while we were yet sinners, or while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us to make peace between us and God, so that we could come back to him and know him like we were originally created to know him. This is what salvation is all about, knowing God. It is our goal. It is to be the focus of our mind. It is to be our glory. Knowing God is our goal in heaven. Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 3, this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. The goal of heaven is not pearly gates, nor streets of gold. It is not even seeing Abraham or Moses or Paul in heaven, or even our loved ones. The great glory and goal of heaven will be knowing God. And that's a great privilege and a great encouragement, the greatest of all encouragement and motivation that we can master in our spiritual life, to know God on a deeper level. Because the sins that had separated us from God have been taken care of, we will then be able to live in heaven with him forever and spend eternity knowing him and his glory. A glory so majestic that no man can look upon it on earth and live. A glory is so satisfying that we will not need anything other than him. A glory so lasting that it will never end. God says, if you know that you are going to experience his glory in heaven forever, that is something to boast about. Now, now that we are still in this world of sin, so we can see him or always feel him. But if by faith you will seek him now, he will speak to you every day in his word, and you can speak back to him in prayer. That's our daily devotional time is all about. That is what the Bible was created and given to us by God, to read it with deep interest, like your favorite food. It should be more than that, your favorite food. It should be your main interest, our main delight, our main focus, to know him daily on a deeper level. It's not just about doing our spiritual religious duties. It is about getting to know him better day by day as we spend time in his word and prayer. Paul says in Philippians 3, verse 10, he counted all things as lost for the sake of Christ, that I may know him, in verse 10 says. That is what our lives here on earth are supposed to be about. Spending time with God so that we know him and can know him. Glorying in him. In other words, delighting in him, in his glorious presence when we speak to him and when he speaks to us in his word. Brothers and sisters, this is my personal prayer that and question first, is that what is happening to you as you spend time every day in God's word and prayer? May our Heavenly Father and God direct us this way and ask him to increase that desire day by day when we encounter him in his word and in our talk with him in prayer. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done and will continue to do for our behalf. Amen.